We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call a meeting to order. Start with a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have a motion to approve the agenda for the April 23rd, 2024 Board of Education meeting as presented.
So moved.
Moved by Dave, second by Rich. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Information items, the 24-25 final budget presentation.
So the state aid runs came out Friday night at 5 o'clock. So we got $62,988 more in foundation aid than the January runs. So in order to balance the budget, we used $552,114 from the debt service reserve fund. So the only other change is that capital outlay, although the bills aren't printed yet, I talked with the executive director of Asbo New York on Friday afternoon, and he said it's not likely that they're going to increase it to $250,000. So that capital outlay was brought back down to $100,000. So the additional building aid revenue on that 150 was also taken off. So we have a balanced budget at $83,911,292.
What's the pushback to increase the capital outlay to 250? Is it just a?
I mean, just that they don't want to eat it. Because the state has to eat it. The argument that we've made locally and for Discus is that what that really does is allows districts to do more, you have less deferred maintenance and capital projects later on, because if you can fix something for $100,000, $250,000 now, it may defray, you know, a more significant expense later on. But that argument has not been persuasive in Albany, and it's across the state, like people in Long Island, people in Westchester, people in Western New York, it's across the state, people making the argument. They just seem, I mean, we've been asking for,
I think it's been
6 or 7 years.
$100,000 since 2002.
I was going to say, I thought that number has been an old number. It's not really taken into account any kind of inflation or what it takes. I mean, $100,000 in a building these days is not a lot.
Right.
So like, when you say they ate it, What are they actually aiding? Are they aiding the $100,000, or they would have to aid the $250,000?
They'd have to aid the $250,000, so it would add to the state's expense of reimbursing districts for that.
Like a lot, or?
Well, you know, if 500 districts take it, so
not just this one.
Multiply it across the state, it would add some expense, but the argument could be made that it would save the state money in the long run.
And some high-poverty districts get like 98% building aid, so they'd be aiding almost the entire.
What's our percentage?
75.5.
So that's the argument. We've not been able to persuade them. Maybe next year. Get back to it.
Any other questions? Those are the only changes since the last time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the debt service reserve fund use was exactly what you told us we would plan to do when we talked about this the last time.
Well, I didn't know what the foundation aid increase was going to be,
yep.
So, but yes.
Well, I believe we had hoped foundation aid was going to be more.
I thought it would be about 75,000, but it came in at 68. I know it wasn't going to be a lot.
Where did I get the number 280 from?
So there is a period of time early in the budget process where the governor indicated, the legislature indicated that we would, the districts who were not on Safe Harmless like us would get what was on the November run ultimately.
Which was CPI at 4.1%.
That was the, so that would have brought us the 280 that we talked about, but within the last, I don't know, probably 3 weeks of the negotiation, that came off the table very quickly, and they dialed it back to whatever the number is, 2.48, 2.49 instead of 4.1. So that was, you know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been anticipating 78 or 80 or whatever it was, and it came in at 63.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little uneasy at our use of debt service reserves.
So we will
talk about the sustainability of that?
Well, you're not supposed to really carry a reserve for debt service when once a capital project is done. So the controller's office and state ed want it to be zero because why are you holding on to that money, right? So when you have a project going on, it can help pay for principal and interest payments. But once a project is done and you don't have a new project on your books, they want you to use it. It's very restricted. It can only be used for principal and interest payments. So in May, at the end of May, when we borrow for phase two, we should get another premium to add back to debt service reserve. I can't tell you what it is. It all depends on what those bidders bid, like Oppenheimer and Fidelity and whoever gets the, you know, our debt.
So that'll come in the discrepancy between what we're budgeting for debt service versus what our actual, our rates would be better ideally, and then we would take the difference into a debt service.
Correct. Yep. So it does bring your rate down. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, we actually get paid by whoever.
That's right. That's the premium that gets put into the debt service reserve fund because
we'll get the money when we award the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll use some of it in each of the coming years, and then when we're done borrowing for this project, that reserve has to be zeroed out.
But we're always on a capital project, though.
But we won't
always be having a band. We get when we go out and we award it in May, part of what goes into the net interest is what the investment house that ends up winning the bid, they'll pay us, and that goes into our.
Okay, I was just saying because Christine mentioned that, you know, we have these dollars, they're connected to a capital project. We always have a capital project, so technically we would always have these dollars coming in, right?
Oh, so only once when you're done borrowing, then you're done bringing that money in. Okay. So we're only actually going out to borrow the money. Going out onto the market to actually borrow money, then they want that money to be, that account to be zeroed out. They want you to use it contemporaneous to the borrowing itself when you initially borrow it.
So these dollars are connected to which capital project? The old one?
No,
it's the current one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what you're saying is because we're always paying off debt, we never effectively have to have zero.
Right, that
we always
is,
have
that
a debt
is true,
that we
but
could
they
be
want to see
reserving.
A use of it because that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And some districts don't always have a capital project. Like I was in a district that didn't do work for a long time, and then once a new superintendent came, and then they started doing capital projects. I mean, you really should be doing one, you know, every 5 to 10 years.
But to the extent of the sustainability piece, which is what you're asking, I think essentially the essence of your question is, you know, we're going to use it while we're borrowing, you know, taking on new debt, and then once we're done taking on new debt, then we won't be using that borrowing to take on the new debt.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'd like to have seen this smaller, but I understand what everybody's saying.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
The good news is that we're not using the ERS reserve like we have in the past. We're not using any dollars from that.
Okay. Good?
Yeah. Okay. No one else? Okay, moving on to action items. Item C1, can I have a motion that the proposed 2024-25 budget in the amount of $83,911,292 be adopted and presented to the voters of the Hamburg Central School District is proposition number one on May 21st, 2024.
So moved.
So moved by Mike.
Second.
Second by Rich. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes. Item C2, can I have a motion to approve the publication of the 2024-25 property tax report card pursuant to regulations of the Commissioner of Education?
So moved.
So moved by Laura.
Second.
Second by Dave. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item passes. That's the end of our action items. Moving on to public expression. We've got four speakers, so just as a reminder, some topics are not permitted to be discussed in public forum. For example, any topic related to an employee that can be implied to be related to an employee, special education placements, individual student situations, etc. Topic is inappropriate for the public forum. The board president, myself, will instruct you not to speak, but rather present your concerns in writing for the board's discussion in the executive session. So because we have four, there's 5 minutes allotted to each, starting with Kelly Brem.
Good morning. I'm gonna keep it brief because a lot of what I have prepared, I have repeatedly said to all of you in person and in email communication. The community has consistently sounded the alarm over the budget with disapproval. Instead of open dialogue, we're met with a wall of silence. The budget remains unchanged. We're told that we don't understand and that this is the only option. The use of data appears selective and misleading to support your narrative. The board's unwavering support for the superintendent's proposals raises eyebrows. Even this meeting today being scheduled at 2:15 in the morning on a weekday when most people are not available. Shows your lack of consideration for community involvement. It's a disappointing time for the Hamburg schools where the community is dismissed, student needs are not the priority. Decisions seem to lack thoughtful consideration. The choices being made, these are your decisions. Alternatives exist. Choosing to adopt this budget is a missed opportunity. Moving forward, it's time to listen to the community, commit to a more collaborative and accountable approach. The choices you've made will resonate long after today. Thank you.
Ashley Rybczynski?
Rybczynski.
Yes. Sorry, I'll get it right.
Good morning. I'm here speaking as a parent and a taxpayer today, and I first and foremost want to address how disappointed I am in the decision to hold a public board meeting to adopt a controversial budget at 8:15 on a Tuesday morning. This is a time where your staff is contractually obligated to be at work, effectively removing their ability to attend, ask questions, and speak. Additionally, parents have a limited ability to attend because the vast majority are either getting their students off to school or at work. It speaks volumes that you either knowingly chose to exclude the public or are so far removed from the day-to-day delights of the people invested in this that you didn't realize that this time is not accessible. When the public is calling for transparency, you missed the mark on this one. Parents and families have lost faith in the leadership of the district and both the board and Mr. Cornell. Despite the public turnout, the many emails and calls that have gone unanswered, the questions that have been met with a deafening silence, you have continued to publicly pronounce that you have what it takes to steer the district in the right direction, to right the ship, so to speak. Your choice today shows us that you do not. You do not consider the value or connection from the turn you have coined for districts across Western New York. The community does not feel valued, and we do not feel connected. You are continuing to smash our ship into the rocks. You know the community is upset, and they may vote no to the budget, which could be catastrophic to our staff and students. You have made no attempt at compromise. You have cherry-picked data to say what is important to you. You have told us, if you vote no, we will present the same budget, and if that does not pass, we will go to contingency and there will be more layoffs. By your unwillingness to compromise, you are effectively relying on threats to pass the budget. You are willing to risk our staff and students, and that is not acceptable. While I agree that we must pass the budget so we do not go to contingency, I'm disappointed at the unwillingness to look for other solutions. Much like everything else in the world, there isn't only one solution to a problem, as you would have us believe. Every situation is nuanced and needs to be analyzed and have an impact study to make the best possible choice. I fear it is too late for the community to feel like they can place trust in this budget. As the saying goes, your actions speak louder than words, and your actions today spoke loud and clear. To anyone who may listen to this meeting, I do encourage you to vote yes to the budget to keep our staff and students from facing additional losses due to the board's unwillingness to compromise. If you want to make your voice heard, vote on May 21st, vote for the budget, and to bring a fresh perspective to the school board. It's important that we have somebody who is willing to make student-centered decisions while maintaining fiscal responsibility and isn't afraid to look for multiple solutions to the problem.
Sue Biter.
I'm Susan Biter, 5340 Oak Ridge Drive, Hamburg. The Hamburg Central PTSA will be hosting and providing a $75 honorarium to the League of Women Voters on Monday, May 6th, for the purpose of conducting a candidate forum for the Hamburg Board of Education. The forum is scheduled to take place at Charlotte Avenue School in the AUD from 6:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. I've spoken to the League personally, and Terry Parks is very excited to come and help us out again. All balloted candidates are cordially invited to take part. I apologize for the timing relative to this busy budget season, but we need help from HCSD, and I believe petitions were due yesterday. In order to facilitate this event, the HCPTSA requests that the Office of the District Clerk provide the names and best contact information to me, as requested via email sent yesterday, so that I can formally invite all candidates and obtain their signatures on the League of Women Voters ground rules no later than April 30th, 2024. Thank you.
Jessica Ram.
So after these several meetings, I've had people come up to me and they've asked me, how do you get up in front of that board without anything prepared and say what you say? And I tell them it's because what I'm saying, I feel so deeply in my soul that these words just come to me. So today I have nothing prepared but this. This is not my beautiful artwork. This is the artwork of my five-year-old. This is something he drew in school. Up at the top, it's cut off, but it basically says, if you were to get hurt, a scrape, a cut, and need a Band-Aid, who would you go to? It says here, it could be your mom, your dad, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, grandparent, or maybe a teacher. Lots of options there to choose from for a five-year-old who might need a little guidance. So this is who he drew. And you might think that's gotta be dad. Gray beard? Maybe that's grandpa. You would be wrong. This is Mr. Kazuda. This is who my five-year-old drew as someone he could be trusted to go to if he needed help. Now that may seem, well, he was in class with them, so of course he would draw them. No, because my five-year-old has a really hard time connecting with people. And up until this year, he had a hard time looking new adults in the eye, especially men. For many years of his life, he would not communicate with anybody but his parents, not a grandparent, not an aunt or an uncle. This is a boy who has made strides this year. I would love to take credit, but I can't take all the credit because it's people like this who are making an impact on my child, and my child is my priority. So you look at this picture and you're like, wow, what a good job. In September, he drew with one color. He did not use multiple colors. He did not add detail. This right here, brown hair, gray beard, this is what Mr. Kazuda was wearing the day he asked him to draw this. So I'm here today because this impacts my children. All four of my children are in classes right now with teachers who are laid off. Three at the elementary level, one at the middle school level. Today, they will sit in class with teachers who will not be here next year. My child is losing a safe person. I find that to be unacceptable. And if you were to go to children, five all the way up to senior year, and ask them to draw someone they feel safe with, there's a very good chance they will draw a teacher who is being cut. Mr. Kazuda, who delivers hard topics to kids every single day. Topics many adults wouldn't be comfortable speaking about with children who are not their own. Topics that parents might not be comfortable speaking to their own children about. That's who my child drew. This is how I know that my child is getting everything he needs here, and I'm worried about what next year looks like. This is a lifeline for my child. I know there are other lifelines being cut in this budget. So today you've adopted a budget on May 21st. I will be voting yes for that budget because I will not put another child through the loss of an important person, a lifeline. However, I will not stop showing up to these meetings, and I'm sure my message right now is not as appreciated as it was in the beginning. I felt that. I have felt as though my words are falling on deaf ears. That's upsetting. So on May 21st, I will vote to adopt this budget, even though I have no faith in the way it was brought together and the decisions that were made to formulate it, because we do not have trust in this board or in our superintendent that these people, even though they say, you say they're your family, I would say my son considers him to be family. You're cutting their family. So May 21st, I will encourage everyone to vote yes for that budget because we cannot afford another loss, but we will continue to be at these meetings looking for how we move forward, looking for how we bring our family members back to this district so they can continue to make the impact on my child and on all these other children that they have for so many years.
Having no further business, I'm going to have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
So moved by Cam.
Second.
Second by Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.